This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 3, Episode 1 of TMNT Classic, Beneath These Streets. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 19! Episode, this season 3, first episode. We should start breaking up the show into seasons. That would make more sense.
I was thinking about that, but...
That would make sense, right? Right? We haven't done it yet. Maybe
we don't want the listeners to have any breaks.
No breaks. Keep going.
This is just an excuse for us to talk to each other.
That's true. It's true.
Really what it is.
But now people on iTunes can also listen to our
excuses. We're on iTunes now.
We're on that iTunes. Thanks to Pizza Toss and Gub. I got to say, that was all you. That wasn't
me. Yeah, there's a lot of finagling. There was a couple of days there we had to get approval and stuff.
What do you mean we? You? I didn't do it.
What do I mean we as in
the royal
we. The royal we.
I didn't do anything. I just remember you, you know, oh, how do I set up iTunes? I don't know. How do I do this? I don't know. I just gave you access to all this stuff. I said, just go figure it out. I don't want to do it. I'm a jaded podcast host, people. I'm jaded. I had a podcast for...
I don't know if jaded is the right word. Lazy might be the word.
Lazy. No, I'm lazy because I've already had a podcast before this for, what, 3+ years? That was on iTunes? And I'm just... All right, I don't care enough anymore to do this.
The end of it was great when it was just, like, you in a room by yourself.
It was just me.
Just you bitching about everything. Yeah.
Everything, yeah. Everything. Yep. Hey, well, my goal was to reach a certain point, and I did. I will accomplish it alone if I have to. I don't care. I set a goal for myself. It's going to happen. That's the way I'm built, Pizza Toss and Gub. That's the way I'm designed. You know, this has nothing to do with the podcast, and this is unrelated, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Did you get the invite for my special day?
Yes, I did. Oh, whoa.
You got the magnet.
I got the, yeah.
That's funny. Okay. Well, that has nothing to do with the show. I'm not editing it out.
There's no edits in this.
No edits. Just right through. Okay, so we're gonna go right into it. Beneath the Streets.
If you remember last episode ended with the Technodrome falling into a pit of lava.
Into a pool of lava
in the center of the earth.
It was a lot of lava, I gotta say.
A lot of lava. Spoilers, they survived.
You know what's funny is I almost watched the next episode right after the end of that podcast because I wanted to know how the hell did they survive this? Like, what is the writing move that they managed to survive?
Well, the writing move is never bring it up at all.
Don't spoil it. Okay. So episode starts. Go ahead.
With them watching a sci-fi movie, a cheesy sci-fi movie in the sewer. And Splinter's mad at them.
What I really like about this episode is it appeals to the way I was raised and the way I think, which makes sense because I was raised with this. I always have this inherent guilt. Whenever I'm relaxing or it not being productive, I always feel guilty. That's just the way I'm designed. It's like I need to be, you know, doing something productive, whether it be cleaning the house, a podcast, drawing, working on something else, at work, something. I don't like having too much free time. But go ahead. So the turtles are relaxing.
Yeah, so Mikey actually walks in, and this brings us back to our only segment, pizza rating.
Yes, talk about pizza. That's right.
They finally start eating weird pizza again.
That's right. They start talking about pizza.
Okay.
And I thought of you right when I saw that.
I need your ratings. In case new listeners, iTunes listeners.
iTunes listeners.
We've been keeping track of all the weird pizzas they eat throughout the season.
Well, for a while, but they stopped doing it.
The list is every weird pizza they've eaten so far. They took a huge break. Last one was season 2, episode 7.
So,
and we give them ratings.
Episode 7, there's been no pizza.
Yeah, and we give them ratings. And at the end of the whole show, we will know the best weird pizza they eat, ideally.
Yes.
So the flavor, so the pizzas they eat this episode are only in this scene, granola and licorice.
Granola and licorice?
I need your rating out of 10.
Granola and licorice?
Granola and licorice.
I'm going to give that a 5. That sounds gross.
I'm going to go a little higher. I don't think that of the stuff they've eaten so far, that's
I mean, I would have to agree. Of all the terrible pizza they've eaten, that's like, or maybe a 6. I don't remember the other ones. They were bad.
I'm doing 6 as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, here's what my worst one yet, I think. Peanut butter and pickles.
I'm actually kind of about that one.
I'm not about that at all. I don't like peanut butter, and I hate pickles.
I would be willing to test
that. Yeah.
I would be willing to test that one out.
The only one we have on the temporary list that you haven't given a full rating to is Cocoa Puffs.
I want to eat that one, too. It's also on my list of pizzas to eat.
So let's put that on a temporary. What's your temporary score for that one? We're never going to eat these things.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it at New York Comic Con is what I'm going to do in October. Going to New York Comic Con.
Okay.
I'm going to find some turtle artist. Who will it be? Will it be Michael Dionysus? I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, we should ask him.
I've exchanged a few conversations with him in emails. Will it be
Santoloco?
Santoloco, will it be him? Somebody's doing it with
me. What's your rating for peanut butter and pickles?
I don't know, 7.
7. That's fucking high.
I like peanut butter. I like pickles. You know, I'm genuinely curious to try that out. I want to eat that. It sounds good.
And with that, pizza rating is over.
I want to say it sounds good. I want to say it sounds. I don't know. It sounds interesting.
Tolerable.
Tolerable. Yeah, maybe
that's the best you can hope for this. I think.
So okay, so it starts off. Mikey's talking about all his pizza.
They're watching TV. Donatello's building a toy robot, a toy turtle robot.
They're being lazy.
And
right?
Leonardo's reading a book.
They're screwing around.
Splinter is not about that.
Splinter is not about that life. Going back to what I said earlier, that's the way I think. Maybe it came from this. Splinter rolls in and he goes, well, you got, you know, basically he just chews them out. What are you doing? You're just screwing around. You know, you got to get on it. You got to do kata.
Yeah.
You got to do your katas. You
know, well, just chastising them, he flips out and kicks the shit out of them.
Kicks the shit out of them when they smart mouth them. You know?
They do smart mouth them.
He kind of chews them out.
This is actually a well written episode because they do learn a lesson in this.
I like this episode. It works. So Splinter rolls in the room and he chews them out. And they give him, well, you know, Shredder is dead. You know, Krang is dead. Who cares? We can
supposedly
relax. Yeah, and then Splinter goes, you can relax, huh? And he kicks the crap out of him. Splinter just beats the crap out of him.
And then they go, and then the scene ends with them going, I guess we got to practice our moves.
I gotta say, Splinter is very aggressive this whole episode.
Yes, he goes after shit this episode.
He just beats people up this episode. He beats up all four turtles. Like, they're dirt. Nothing. He just beats the crap out of them. He does a move. He does the Double Dragon 3 move, is what I call it. Where in Double Dragon 3, and Splinter does this as well, what you can do is you jump over someone. And it's kind of like you do a somersault over somebody, but you hold on to them.
Oh, and you flip them.
And you throw them. Yeah. which would never work in real life, but it makes sense in a cartoon and in a video game. Use the momentum of your jump to throw. He does that to... Who does he do that to, Raphael?
I don't remember.
Throws them around like they're garbage. And then after that, they have to start doing their kata. You know,
and then we cut to the Technodrome.
Shredder and Krang.
Technodrome, which looks like nothing happened to it.
Like nothing happened. And it's in the center of the Earth, and there's no lava there.
No.
The way I took that was it was implied somehow they got rid of the lava.
I guess. I don't know.
But it's never explained.
No.
So it's if they go into a giant pool of molten lava and they just handle it. It's no big deal.
Also, this episode, this episode, more than last episode, more than every other episode before, Krang is using his little joysticks more than ever in the middle of his suit.
He is, yeah.
They don't use it that much. Like, before, he's just sitting there. This time, he's actively using the little joysticks, which I really enjoy.
I feel like this season, they're really trying to... You know, I hate when people do this, but you know, people will try to tell you to get into a certain TV show?
Yeah.
You get into it, and it's bad. And they tell you, no, season 3 is when it gets
good.
Yeah. It's season 2. And when people tell me that, it always annoys me. But legitimately, with the Ninja Turtles, I feel like the beginning of this episode, I go, this is the Turtles I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know
what I think it is? Because there's just so many episodes in this season that most syndication is from this season.
Yeah, but I feel like they're at a point where they're comfortable with the show and the characters. Like, for example, you know, we're going to go on tangents, but it's fine. Raphael is very smart alecky
yeah.
The whole episode. Everybody falls into their character. Everybody is clearly defined.
Well, the first two seasons feel like one big pilot for a show. It feels like if you watch the first episode of Seinfeld, the pilot, they're like, no one is in the right place, and then they realize, that's why.
Well, even Seinfeld takes a season or two before it gets good.
Yeah.
You know, they're figuring it out, and I feel the same way about the Turtles. Even in this episode, we're going on tangents, but Krang has those little drill things.
Yeah.
That transport people, and I'm going, yes, those are the drill things that transport people. That's what's in the video game. That's what's in the show all the time. It's a drill that goes through the center of the earth. And you know what? I've never thought about this. I've never questioned why they use those. I never questioned it. No, because I would play, you know, Turtles in Time or something like that. You know, the Turtles arcade game. And they pop up in these drills from the ground, and I never go, why are they doing that? They're doing that because they're in the center of the earth.
Right.
That's where they live now. Right?
Right.
Which I never thought about it. I just said, that's how they appear. They come from the ground. Why do they come from the ground? Now I know. Right? Now I know. So it cuts to Krang using his little joysticks, and he's chewing out Shredder.
Because something in the Technodrome is broken.
The protein matrix.
Yeah, whatever the protein matrix.
Protein
silicon brain computer.
You wrote it down. You must have wrote it down.
I wrote it down. I memorized it. I just pulled that out of my ass.
The protein silicon brain computer is broken after all the, I suppose, lava.
but he also, like, Krang blamed it on Shredder. Is it Shredder's fault? I mean.
It's Rocksteady and Bebop's fault.
But also,
that's
like.
That's fault.
But, like, the last episode started with Krang going, I'm coming back to New York. Like, that wasn't Shredder's plan. That was Krang's fault.
No, but the lava thing, that was Rocksteady and Bebop's fault.
Yeah.
Because Rocksteady charged Leonardo, I think it was Leonardo, and he threw him, and he smashed into the computer, and I suppose damaged the, what was it called again, protein?
Protein silicon brain computer.
I think I just threw it.
The PSBC.
I think you're just throwing words out. The protein silicon brain computer. That sounds very nice, but it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's kind of like when you.
Well, also, the thing they need to fix it is the most ridiculous thing ever. But we'll get to that.
It's kind of like when you play Mega Man and Mega Man has a plasma rifle or plasma. what comes out of?
Some of the words like when we were kids, that was like fuck. Like you ever play a shoot 'em up, like an arcade shoot 'em up, one of the items is always plasma, and like, wait,
that
doesn't make any fucking sense.
So you mean the thing that comes out of your blood? What does that have to do with shooting lasers? They're not connected. I don't understand. But, you know, it just sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like the letter X. That was the early 90s. The letter X was in everything. You put that letter X-Men. You know, granted, the X-Men were older than the 90s, but man, they had their stride in the 90s.
Yeah.
Go on.
So Krang sends Shredder up to the surface in one of those drill cars.
To get something.
He's not entirely clear what it is. He's like, they've got something up there that can help us fix our broken computer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to the Turtles patrolling around town.
That's right.
The Turtles are like complaining, oh man, we had 6 hours of training. All this shit is like.
Yeah, well, because Shredder is coming down on them hard. Shredder, Splinter. But he's acting like Shredder almost.
And then
he's being very aggressive.
And then they pull up to a movie theater and they see the greatest movie ever.
I wanted to see these movies in real life.
Kung Fu Commandos versus Chainsaw Cheerleaders.
I would totally go see that.
I don't see it in a heartbeat. I don't blame them.
I don't blame them at all. And you know what? And this you know what's the best? I did karate for a while, actually. You know this about me, right?
Maybe.
Do you not know this about me? I did karate for like a long time.
Maybe.
I did karate for about.
Wait. How old were you when you stopped doing karate?
13.
That's not too old.
Yeah, but I started doing karate when I was like 5. So I did karate for like 8 years, because of like, you know, I was right.
You wanted to be a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, I wanted to be Ninja Turtle. I was right in that sweet spot, right? I was obsessed with Van Damme, the Ninja Turtles, like anybody who did martial arts. That's who I wanted to be, right?
Right.
That's all I did. And then right when I turned 14, I did judo for 5 years.
When you turned 14, you saw girls and you're like, I'm done.
No, I did judo. I did judo for 5 years. So, but I was going to say, when you train for 6 hours or something like that, there is nothing more satisfying than going to see a movie or relaxing, because it feels so deserved. You know, so when the Turtles, if I was them and I just did karate for 6 hours and I saw a movie title like that, that would be amazing to me. Okay, now I can relax. I can watch this amazing movie, have popcorn. It's going to be great. Totally on their side. I would have done the same thing.
The Turtles decide to go to this movie. They say, fuck it all. They're going to go see this movie.
Because they're supposed to patrol.
Which, okay. Are they supposed to be hidden? Because they're driving around in the fucking turtle van.
The Turtles are so inconsistent about this.
Yeah.
They're either...
Because they drive around the turtle van, and then when they go to the movie, they take off their masks. Like, it's going to hide them more.
But they're wearing
But they're still giant turtles.
They're wearing snow hats with bubble jackets.
They're wearing snow hats that are in the right colors.
Right, and... What's funny is so Raphael buys 4 tickets to go see this movie, and Kung Fu Commandos versus Cheerleaders.
Chainsaw Cheerleaders.
And then the lady goes, how many tickets do you want? He goes, 4. And then he points out his hands and he goes, 4. Because he only has 3 fingers in each hand because he's a turtle.
Yeah.
No, he has 3. Yeah, he has 3 a thumb and 2 fingers. And he goes, 4. And then she goes, she makes some kind of comment about the fact he only has.
Yeah, she said something like, I thought we had weird things. I thought we were on the screen with the weirdest thing I see tonight or something like that.
Right. So then I'm going, I don't know why he's showing that.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it supposed to be a secret? Isn't that
the point? It's the
point, right? So anyway, so now that's what the turtles are going to do.
Also, then, the ticket counter lady has the manliest hands I've ever seen.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. Probably, though. She's got some man hands?
Yeah, man.
She got some man hands.
So they go into the movie theater, and they make it a point to turn off their communicators.
Yes, that's right.
Because they saw the turn off your cell phone sign when you come in.
Right, and they respected it.
They respected it.
So they had the equivalent of cell phones. They had turtle communicators. So it's fair to say the Ninja Turtles had the earliest form of cell phones.
Maybe.
One of the early, you know, they weren't the guy from, what was that movie, Wall Street? Gordon Gekko, he's got a cell phone.
They didn't have the Zach Morris phone.
They didn't have the Zach Morris phone, but, you know, they had the turtle phone. They had the closest thing. And then it cuts to, and this is hilarious. So Shredder, it's so ridiculous. It's hilarious. So to heal the protein silicon brain computer, is that right? Protein silicon brain computer?
Protein silicon brain computer, yes.
Okay, so to heal the protein silicon brain computer, Shredder decides he's going to steal some kind of laser.
Well, he doesn't decide. Krang tells him he needs to steal that thing.
Oh, is that right? Krang tells him
when he sends out to the surface, you need to steal this thing to fix our computer thing. But he doesn't say what it is. He just says you need to steal a thing.
So Shredder goes to steal this thing with Rocksteady and Bebop, and it turns out to be a laser that heals things.
It's the Medi laser gun.
Medi laser, which is something I would make up when I was 5.
Yes.
I'm going to shoot you in the face with a laser, and it's going to heal you. Right? Like, I'm going to shoot you.
But it's even better about this. So he steals it. They run in.
I like how he steals it.
They're having a press conference for the gun.
Scott's having a press conference. He's going, this is the laser that you'll shoot people with. It'll heal them.
He just runs in and takes it.
Great. That's so 80s. Like, what were you going to say?
He just runs in and takes it.
So Shredder and Rocksteady and Bebop just literally run in the middle of his press conference. The scientist.
It's also not even a press conference. There's 8 people there. Tops.
Yeah, he beats the crap out of them. And he just takes it. There's no security, and if there is, Shredder doesn't care. That's, and that, you know what's funny? That's the way I thought the world worked when I was a kid. was, all right, I mean, if you're a criminal, you can just run anywhere and do anything. That's fine. Well, the cops will never get there in time. Yeah. There's no security. You always – and then I think as a child I got paranoid. You know, maybe that's why I did so much karate. You know, maybe all of a sudden a guy's going to run in here and, you know, commit a crime. I got to beat him up just in case. You know, there's no security anywhere in New York.
Right.
So Shredder just goes in there, beats up this scientist who looks particularly dorky.
Yeah.
Takes his eye, and April is there, right? Because she's supposed to cover the story.
April's covering the April's part of the press conference. Which also, if there was a laser gun that healed people, the press conference would be enormous.
Well, I mean, there's something kind of hilarious about a gun you shoot people with and heal. Kind of wish I would love to see a demo of this. Some guy's got a broken leg.
Prior to the press conference, Splinter calls her and says, "Where have you seen the turtles?" And she says, "No."
Splinter turns into the concerned housewife.
Yeah.
Where are my kids? Because the turtles are watching the Kung Fu Commandos versus the Chainsaw Cheerleaders.
April tries to call the turtles after Shredder takes the gun, and she can't reach them. She can't reach them, so she teams up with Splinter to go find Shredder. And I don't know how they track him down to that house that he's in, the basement that he came up in.
Yeah, I missed that too. There's too much going on.
Whoa! The other thing is, like, when he comes up in the drill car, he just comes up in a random dude's basement.
Baby, you're interrupting my podcast about your pita chip. You should be sorry. You should be. You're ruining it. I'm not editing it out. Leave it in. Okay, moving on.
That's Dave.
Moving on.
So they track him down to this basement, right?
Yes.
That he's in, and Splinter just proceeds to beat the crap out of Beelzebub and Rocksteady by himself.
Yes, so somehow Splinter and April figure out where they are, and Splinter rolls in there and just kicks the crap out of Rocksteady and Bebop, and he uses the same move. The
same jump move, yes.
The turtles. The jumping Double Dragon 3, somersault. If no one's, you know, it's going to upset me, but I'm sure it's very common.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a move.
No one's ever played Double Dragon 3.
Actually, I don't know if it's a real move.
Have you played Double Dragon 3?
Yeah, well, I know it exists there.
No, but you play. I know you know Double Dragon 3 exists. Have you played it?
No. What I'm saying is, I know that move exists in Double Dragon 3.
That's right.
My statement is, I don't think that move exists in real life.
No, it does not exist in real life. No. It exists in Double Dragon 3. So my point is that Splinter is just rocking that move. And I got to say, it's the most satisfying thing to do in Double Dragon 3. It feels great when you do that move and throw someone into a body of water and they're dead. Or off the screen. One or the other. So Splinter goes in there. He beats up Rocksteady and Bebop.
Here's my favorite part now.
Yes.
Okay. So Shredder has the Medi laser, right?
The Medi laser.
And so Splinter has just beat up Beelzebub Rocksteady. They're, like, knocked out.
They're conveniently
knocked out for the perfect amount of time for the next event to happen.
Because that's all Rocksteady and Bebop do, is get beat up when it's convenient.
Shredder reverses the polarity on the gun, which is – it has a switch to do this, which, like, basically puts you in a coma.
It's almost like Dungeons & Dragons, where if you use the heal spell, you can do the reverse, which is harm. That's what I thought immediately.
Like, you built this Medi laser, this gun that does this, and they're like, you know what we should put on there? That would make this put people in a coma.
Why would somebody who builds a gun to heal people put a reverse option to hurt people on the gun? That's very odd. And you know what's funny is he shoots him with it.
Yeah.
And then Splinter goes down. And I literally said this out loud. That doesn't make any sense. It's supposed to heal him. And then Shredder goes, "I reversed the polarity to make him hurt him. To make it hurt him."
Yeah.
Splinter goes down. I always confuse Shredder and Splinter for some reason. I always say their names backwards. So, anyway, and then...
Well, after the fight, he throws a stick and knocks that piece out of the gun.
He does. I think he throws it after he gets shot with the gun.
Yeah, right before he goes into his coma.
Splinter throws a stick and he hits this piece on the gun.
which, by the way, does the craziest fucking thing ever. Because right after this, they... April brings them back to... Splinter back to the lair, and the turtles are all bummed because they went to party instead of doing what
right. told them. They should feel guilty. That's the whole point of the
this episode. This is the act two. This is the low like the
So act one, establish the turtles world. Act two, they screwed up. No, act one, breaking point, I should say. They screwed up. They went to go see a movie instead of doing what they were supposed to do. And now they're punished for what they did. Splinter is hurt after kicking the crap out of them and then kicking the crap out of Bebop Rocksteady. Now he's hurt. And then, so I think April finds his body.
April brings him back to the lair and the turtles are bummed. They're like, we should find Shredder and fix this.
That's right.
But then it cuts to
they want a Medi Laser. But what's funny is I remember this too because it made me laugh. Donatello says about Splinter after being shot with the Medi Laser. He goes, "The laser short circuited his brain."
He does say that.
He's not a machine. He's a rat man.
Well, also, if a doctor was like, "Man, that short circuited his brain," you would think, A, the fuck is wrong with that doctor, and B, that guy has permanent brain damage now forever. Like the guy whose brain was short-circuited.
Yes.
He's brain damaged forever.
Well, his IQ drops to 30. Yeah. That's what happened.
But then it cuts back. So this is my favorite part. My second favorite part. I like the reversing polarity. But I like they cut back to the Technodrome. Shredder's like, "I got the thing you wanted." And they go to try to use it on the whatever it's called, the protein silicon brain computer, which is just this mound of
protein silicon brain computer.
It's just this mound of like gross shit in the corner. It's like this green mound of shit. And then
I like the description of it.
And then Craig can't shoot a straight shot because
Craig can't shoot a straight shot. A healing shot.
But it just looks like the gun is like too powerful and shooting in different directions. Like what would this Like, what is that little piece doing that's forcing him to shoot? They call him to shoot straight.
He shoots straight.
He literally holds it and then, like, jerks left and shoots and then jerks right and shoots. Like,
I kind of think of it as if, you know, you gave a machine gun to a 5-year-old. That's how I see it. You know, it just all over the place, right? And somehow this piece stabilizes it.
Yeah. But I just like, he's like, don't worry, let me fix it. And it's like just blasting shit into the wall.
It's a hot mess.
Leaves holes in the wall.
He just shoots the place up. Yeah. He just shoots the place up. So now they need to get the piece that the turtles knocked off, which I assume they took as well when they got Splinter's body.
I don't know when they figured that out.
I don't know how that piece
ends. What happens is Krang says, you gotta go back up and get the piece, right?
Yeah.
The turtles are driving around patrolling for Shredder, and then they confront that random dude in the street that isn't Shredder.
Yes.
I was watching it, and they were like, "Look, there's Shredder," and I was like, "That's not Shredder. It doesn't even look like Shredder." And then it's just a random dude in a purple trench coat that looks like Sherlock Holmes.
That's right, but he could be Shredder.
Right, and then they go back to the lair. Like, we didn't find him.
Yep.
Like, why was that scene in there?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know. They go back to their sewer apartment.
And then April's like, "Oh, this piece fell off the gun." And then
Donatello's
like, "Oh, that's the stabilizer thing, whatever."
I like how he knows. Well, he's Donatello. He knows everything.
Donatello knows everything.
Conveniently for the plot. Whatever needs
Donatello
to be.
Donatello is the deus ex machina of this whole show.
Just moves everything along. He's the guy who moves the plot along. "Oh, you need that piece of information? I have it. Oh, you found the garbage can? I turned it into a rocket ship so we can go to the moon." You know, whatever he needs to do, he does it. So then what happens next?
So then Shredder comes back up, and him, Bebop Rocksteady, searched the ground for they come back into the room they were in before where they fought Splinter, They're searching around for it. Shredder goes, "Oh, Splinter's not here. It means the turtles have to have been here. Let's find them." So Bebop and Rocksteady go, like, fuck shit up in the park, and we'll find him, and we'll lure them to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Which I love. They always. It seems there's a common theme in the turtles. Bebop and Rocksteady more than once are, you know, put in a situation where they're just supposed to mess things up to attract the turtles.
Yes.
And they just go and mess up the park.
Yeah, but then so. Raphael is in the turtle blimp.
Yep.
And goes to the park. He sees them in the park and calls the turtles and tells them, "We should go to the park."
I kind of like this part a lot. It really made me laugh.
What? Which part?
So Raphael detaches from the turtle blend to go get Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, yeah.
And right after he does that, it cuts to the turtles running out of the subway with weapons in hand. And I'm going, I would love to see that. I would love to see somebody run out of a subway in New York with, you know, weapons in hand just to go beat somebody up. It's the first thing they're going to, you know, they made all their transfers at the right time. They, you know, somehow the schedule worked out perfectly on the train. They were going to end up there exactly when Raphael detaches from the blimp.
Ooh, but then Rocksteady.
First off, how does he even know where they are on the train? He can't call them underground. There's no reception underground.
Whoa, we never, yeah.
Turtle communicators that work underground, okay? I don't care what they say.
Except it always does. In the show.
It's 2016. We still can't do that. Okay.
So they arrive at the park. Rocksteady throws a boulder at them.
Yes, that's no. He it's
somehow, and then Michelangelo just knocks it away with his nunchuck. Like, nope.
There's a quip though where you guys go back to the rock you were under or something to that level, and then Rocksteady throws a large rock at them because everybody knows that every park in New York there's just a large rock,
just a large boulder.
Just have large boulders hanging out in parks in New York.
And then Raphael flies down and drops a bomb on them.
Just beats them up. He drops a sleeping powder bomb.
Drops a sneezing powder bomb.
Because Bebop and Rocksteady always have to deal with sleeping spice or sleeping powder.
This is sneezing powder.
There's always a kind of powder they have to deal with.
Drops a sneezing bomb on them. That's which, right. Which is like, okay, this is starting to be like the turtle blimp right there is like, this is a toy now. It drops bombs. This is a toy.
It drops bombs. What it does.
But then they run away and jump into the water, and the turtles go, okay, we're not going to go into that water. That's gross. That water's gross.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, you guys live in the sewer. You live among filth.
That's right.
You live That's among right. detritus. What are you doing? Ugh.
It is pretty funny.
But then the Bebop and Rocksteady and Shredder follow them to back to Lair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a scene where Shredder takes out a gas grenade, they're behind a corner after they chase the turtles into the sewer, and they're like, "What are you gonna do when you catch him?" And Shredder's like, "I'm gonna use this gas grenade," and it goes like, "Bum bum bum," and it cuts to like the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes back, they like confront the turtles. See them, they fight. He throws the gas grenade, and they just hit it into a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like here, pink gone. It was never a threat at all.
Yeah, it was pretty easy, actually.
It's my favorite part.
It's so not...
Because it goes away. It's just gone forever.
It's just done, yeah. It's just not as big a deal.
No. Ugh. I love that. I could watch that forever.
Ugh. Gotta agree.
And then they steal the gun back from Shredder.
I like how... But I do really like how Shredder gets that gun.
What do you mean?
Well, it doesn't seem like you talked about how Shredder steals the gun, the second gun.
No, we didn't get the second gun yet.
We're not up to the second gun? I thought this was when the second gun appeared.
No, the second gun appears later.
Oh, okay, go ahead. You go ahead.
So what happens is they knock the gun out of Shredder's hand. They take it. Shredder steals the stability thing, right? Mm-hmm. But the turtles end up with the gun. Okay? Then Shredder falls down a sewer pipe and it gets washed away with Bebop and Rocksteady.
That's right.
And then a newspaper falls on Rocksteady's head and it just goes, and he's like before that he's like, what are we going to do? We can't find the gun. We don't have the gun. What are we going to do? And then a newspaper falls on like Rocksteady's head and it goes, it just says second gun, second MIDI laser built.
And also conveniently now Shredder has two foot soldiers.
He calls Craig and he's like,
Craig can only afford to give him two foot soldiers. And again, so Shredder asks for a dozen foot soldiers. He gets two. And then Bebop and Rocksteady complain about this because they don't like these robotic foot soldiers. And I'm thinking to myself, the foot soldiers are useless.
Yeah.
At no point do they ever do anything useful at all. They are – I mean, foot soldiers are literally there for the turtles to beat up. They never accomplish anything.
They look cool.
So when Bebop and Rocksteady put them down, I'm actually on their side.
Yeah.
Going, yeah, they're useless. They don't. And for some reason, Shredder is obsessed with them. He always brings them up. You know, and Krang begrudgingly gives, you know, Shredder 2 foot soldiers. And then this plot device falls on Bebop's head. It says, oh, by the way, go get the second laser.
Second medigun built.
For some reason, I thought the second laser was earlier. But okay, yeah, so they go get the second.
Yeah, and then the Turtles are back in their lair. Donatello's trying to fix the gun, and there's a news report that says, second laser built. So they go, oh, we need to get that laser, because that's what Shredder's going to do.
Yep.
And then it cuts to the outside of the building, and Shredder's just running out of the building with a laser gun.
He's literally just running out.
It's the best. He's like,
we don't even see him steal it.
I did it again!
Two in a row, baby! No security! That's how the world works. You just go, you want something, you can just take it. It's fine.
Oh.
There are no armed men with handguns to stop Shredder. No. You know? He's got karate. He kicked those bullets out of the air. And then he just steals the gun really easily.
Yeah, they run to the sewer, and there's a fight in the sewer for some reason. Why is there a fight in the sewer?
Because of the second gun.
Yeah, second gun, I guess.
Because Donatello cannot get the gun to do what he wants to heal heal Splinter. So they
The other thing is, why didn't Shredder just turn the gun, reverse the player in the gun, and put them all in comas?
Well, that would make sense. That would make sense, Pizza Dawson Gov. That's not what he's going to do.
No.
He's just gonna try to get the gun.
And then the Turtles beat the crap out of Re-Up and Rocksteady. Oh, there was a thing I wanted to ask you about. That so there's a scene where they cut off Rocksteady's belt and he has the heart-shaped underwear.
I love that. I love that scene.
Did those exist in real life?
Yes, because I used to own them.
Oh, okay.
I had a pair of heart-shaped boxers just to say I had them. No, I did not. I really wanted a pair of heart-shaped boxers. I never got them.
Yep, they exist.
For some reason, I thought I had them. The connection is that the first pair of boxer shorts I ever bought were Punch-Out boxer shorts. And the reason why I'm connecting it is because in Punch-Out, when you beat up King Hippo and his pants falls, he's wearing heart-shaped boxers.
Yeah.
That's why my brain made the connection. But yeah, that's the first. Uncomfortable, and I did not like them.
Right.
But I kind of wish I still had them.
Well, you can buy them. They're on sale.
Punch-Out boxers?
Oh, no. Heart-shaped boxers.
No, I want Punch-Out boxers.
Oh.
Super Punch-Out. Okay, so then they get defeated, and then they jack their gun.
Yeah.
And they use the gun to heal Splinter.
Yeah.
Wrong. For selfishly going to see a movie after training all day when they thought Shredder was dead.
And they learned their lesson.
They learned their lesson to never relax.
Never relax.
Which I kind of like. Part of me is just nodding my head and approving. Yeah, that's what you get. It's what you get for relax.
Yeah.
For having fun. That's what you get. And then it, of course, it ends on Krang, you know, chewing out Shredder. Just chewing out Shredder in disapproval. You know, Krang has become the nagging housewife. That's what Krang is. And then Shredder rips a piece of metal off the Technodrome and uses it to cover Krang's little area in his robot suit.
And that's the episode.
And that's the episode end. And I got to say, I liked it. And you know what? The animation looked better on this episode than the last one.
I agree in every aspect. This, I think, also some of the designs changed slightly. I feel like Shredder's design changed a little bit in like his helmet. It's not as sharp. It's a little rounder.
It just looks better. It's just a better looking episode.
Because they have a budget now. But I think this season they overexert themselves, so I think the quality dips later.
I'm sure a few episodes in it's going to look terrible. But as of right now, they seem to be dumping their money.
Yeah.
You know, into trying to make it look good.
Right. I still can't get over who this random guy is in the purple. They just accost in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and they leave. Like, and then they come back. Like, why even have that scene in there?
It's pretty funny.
It does nothing to further the plot.
No. But it's funny. That's funny. And that's it. That's episode, what is this, 19?
19.
Did I say 19 in the beginning?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did.
It's in the notes. It's in the show notes.
It's in the notes. If it wasn't in the notes, I would have screwed it up. Who was it? I'm like Ron Burgundy. Is that his name?
Yes.
if it's there, I'll say it. Like whatever you write out, I will say.
Man, we're also two episodes away from Attack of the 50-Foot Irma.
I can't wait for that episode.
No, I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
Oh. And we're out of here. So I'm King Cowabunga.
Wait, okay, so.
Oh, you know, on the topic of Cowabunga, I didn't mention this in the episode. There's a point where Donatello.
Oh, yeah.
He chews out Michelangelo for not saying Cowabunga. Then Michelangelo goes, I think that's kind of, you know, I'm over that. I think I'm going to say Yabba Dabba. And then Donatello covers his mouth and says, no, that's not you.
Which is a pretty good joke.
It's a good joke, you know. Kind of, you know, a reference to Flintstones, which a lot of people don't even know what the Flintstones is. They probably listen to this podcast. So, which isn't their fault.
You should listen to our Flintstones podcast.
You know, we have a Flintstones podcast, in addition to Alfcast and Cheerscast. This week on Cheers / Alfcast / Flintstones.
What would be our Flintstones name?
What would be our Flintstones?
Yeah, because it'd be like
I feel like if I would be anybody, it would be Fred. I think that's
no, but your name would have to have like Rockin, like, you know, it was always like Todd Rockington or like.
It's always
know.
A rock, yeah. Like, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll tell you next week, listeners. We'll figure it out and we'll tell you next.
If you
week.
If you can come up with good Flintstone names, email us at ninjapodcast@gmail.com.
You have to say kind of robotic ninjapodcast@gmail.com.
We're also now on iTunes, so if you can rate and subscribe.
Apparently, we're on iTunes, so feel free to leave us a
5-star rating.
5-star rating. I kind of would like if somebody left a rating and it was 5-star.
We do have a 5-star rating.
Did you make it 5 stars?
I did make it, but we both know who did make it.
I don't know who did it.
I'll tell you after the show.
I don't. It wasn't me.
you may hear her giggling in the background.
Oh, okay. Now I know. it was not me. I would like to see a comment that was a 5-star rating and it said this podcast sucks, but it was 5 stars.
It was 5 stars. They don't understand the rating system. They're like, I thought I went to 20.
I thought it goes up to 15. So we're out of here. I am King Cowabunga heading out.
And I'm Pizza Toss and Gub.
See you next time. Take care.
Later.